Notre Dame theology professor Todd Whitmore discussed with Bill Schmidt of the Office of Public Affairs some major points of Catholic social teaching as they relate to commentaries about immigration policy by economist Andrew Youngert, by the U.S. Catholic bishops, and by Cardinal Roger Mahoney of the Archdiocese of Los Angeles.
One thing I liked about Professor Youngert's article is that he recognizes that Catholic social teaching's first response is to try to create circumstances under which migration is not necessary. Mm-hmm. So here's where a narrow focus on immigration policy misses the point. That the broader point is, let's do what we can to create an international economic system where the gaps between rich people and poor people, between rich countries and poor countries, are lessened, and so therefore the pressures that bring about migration are lessened as well. Because migration is, and again, Youngert points this out, he's correct on this, is not a good in itself. It creates what John Paul II calls material evils. Mm-hmm. People have to leave their families. They're gone from their families for extended periods of time. There's dangers involved in migration,
right,
and the like. It also disrupts the home community generally. And because people have loyalties to their own land, loyalties to their own people, traditions that are developed there, all this gets disrupted if migration occurs. So the first task in any Catholic approach to the issue of migration is not focusing nearly on migration itself, but try to create the conditions where migration is less necessary and the pressures that create migration are themselves lessened.
That's what struck me in Cardinal Mahoney's piece. He was almost saying that Catholic social teaching is such a big and comprehensive idea that it's really designed not so much to address just problem A or problem B of immigration, but all of the bigger macro kinds of social issues that, as you say, would make immigration less of an issue to begin with, or at least would open up grounds for common ground.
Oh, I think that's right. In fact, one of the first questions he asks, as he puts it, who belongs to the household? Who precisely is the we in we the people? And that's precisely the question of the universal common good. Mm. What the universal common good says is everybody is.
Yeah.
This is why the emphasis in Cardinal Mahoney's piece on welcoming the stranger, and we found it also in the piece by the bishops of Mexico and the United States. Mm-hmm. Welcoming the strangers there because, according to Catholic Christian teaching, ultimately, there are no stranger.
Yeah.
Everyone is our neighbor.
Yeah.
We erect these boundaries, and these boundaries serve some positive purposes, but if they are erected in a way that keeps someone permanently a stranger, then that's problematic. So, yes, Cardinal Mahoney begins in this broad way that marks Catholic social teaching by raising this question of who belongs in the household, who is the we and we the people. Mm. And that is precisely the question of who's a member of the common good. And again, Catholic social teaching emphasizes the universal common good. What is nice also, both about Cardinal Mahony's document and his lecture and the document Strangers No Longer, mm-hmm. is both give thorough scriptural foundations for this.
Right.
In quite a bit of Catholic social teaching, there is simply a leap into the problem and appealing to these various principles, which has the advantage of being interpreted and appreciated by those who are not Christian or Jewish. But for those who are Christian or Jewish, we might want to know what are the scriptural foundations for this.
Right.
And what's nice, both, what's helpful, both about Mahony's document and also the document Strangers No Longer, is that they draw upon these scriptural themes fairly thoroughly to show about how both the nation of Israel was a migrant nation.
Yes.
How the Holy Family was a migrant family.
Yes.
And their well-being depended in large part on the degree to which persons did or did not receive them. Both flourished in any case, but the message here is one of imitation. You should imitate the nation Israel when it talked about receiving the stranger, receiving the alien. There should be no aliens among you. And the gospel, for instance, of Matthew, I was a stranger and you welcomed me.
Right.
It's only after doing that that each of these documents moves into the more generalized principles, like when we talk about the universal common good. It roots it in a very specific narrative about how we became a people, both out of the Old Testament and then its New Testament developments.
Yeah.
That much said, with those broad beginnings in Scripture and with these broad principles, neither document hesitates from talking very specifically about policy.
Mm-hmm.
And very specifically about policy pertaining to the detailed issue of migration. So while it starts broad, and one of the key contributions of Catholic social teaching is to stretch our usual accounts of issues, neither hesitates to speak very specifically to the issues themselves, and even getting down on the floor and talking very specifically about policy recommendations.
But it seems to be a helpful start, a helpful contribution that Catholic social teaching makes, to at least start us out by thinking broadly.
Yes.
Because my experience, like in the world of radio talk shows or other areas where these issues are debated, people get down to the minutiae, and it seems they get quagmired there, and there's no chance for any mm-hmm. kind of mm-hmm. common ground.
No, that's right. That's right. It's interesting you use the language of common ground, because some of the things I've written, including a piece that came out in Notre Dame magazine, uses Catholic social teaching to broaden the debate on abortion and talk about ways in which pro-choice and pro-life adherents have common ground.
Mm.
They'll never agree on the question of the right to life of the fetus versus, that there won't be agreement on that.
Right.
But the claim is, as long as you keep the focus as narrowed as that, you won't find the points of, in fact, where there's overlap between the two groups. And that is a common function of Catholic social teaching. And it is a concern about, and I don't mean to be dismissive, I'm not, of your own profession, but sometimes when documents come out regarding Catholic social teaching's application to a specific issue, the media will pick out a sentence or two that makes sense to them.
Right.
And latch on to it, often missing the broader social and theological groundings for all of this that, as you note, is often Catholic social teaching's prime contribution. For example, when the American Catholic bishops wrote their document, the final version came out in 1983, The Challenge of Peace.
Mm-hmm.
Much of the press focused in on one sentence, in fact, one word, about whether the United States should either halt or curb, depending on which draft of the document it looked at, nuclear arms production. That's because in the broader public debate, there was this nuclear freeze right. debate going on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Halt is stronger language than curb.
Right.
Well, that's one word within one sub-issue, within one issue of nuclear weapons, within a broader treatment of the nature of war and peace within this document that was, what, over 300 paragraphs long.
Yeah.
You know, it's basically book length. So one of the things I like, by the way, about the Notre Dame Forum is it provides the space for the broader range of debate to get in, the broader perspectives to get in. For instance, it's good to see Cardinal Mahoney coming.
Right. So. Yes. And then also to have the opportunity afterwards for ongoing conversations in small groups, in the residence halls, et cetera.
Right.
That also seems to be a unique contribution.
It's a good contribution because it's not meant to be the last word. Right. It's meant to be a catalyst for broader conversation here at the school, but also broadly in the United States. Yeah. One interesting issue that begins to come up and then seems to float away, and then begins to come up and seems to float away with regard to immigration and the United States in these documents, is that of whether U.S. citizens, if as Cardinal Mahoney says, the U.S. legal system with regard to immigration is disordered.
Yes.
Whether U.S. citizens may be allowed and may even have an obligation to exercise civil disobedience in exercising this hospitality to the stranger. Mm. Now, not in this document, but Cardinal Mahoney has said, when one of the versions of bills came forward, and it ultimately did not pass, but he said, if this bill passes, you'll be turning much of the work of the church into criminal activity, and I can't recommend that activity stop.
Mm-hmm.
Basically saying that civil disobedience would be required. He begins to get at this when he says, once it is agreed that all should share in the feast that is the fruit of their hands, the question becomes whether those who reside outside the law have the same claim to a seat at the table as those who are not outside of it. And this is shortly after he said the U.S. system is disordered. Given the current broken immigration system, church leaders say, yes, let me explain. So he's dealing with the issue of illegal immigration and the like. And Jungert's article addresses that too towards the end, where he says Catholic social teaching needs to be clear about the obligations when someone immigrates illegally. Now, that's the obligations on the side of the migrant.
Right.
But what about the obligations on the side of the person in the United States, of the Catholic person in the United States who has been told, welcome the stranger,
mm-hmm.
and the current system is disordered.
Right.
Cardinal Mahoney says, while we may be governed by laws, these laws are created and administered in the pursuit of justice. And then he goes on to say, current immigration laws are, in a word, unjust.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you go to Thomas Aquinas, he will say that an unjust law doesn't have the force of law.
Right.
You know, it's on the basis of Thomas Aquinas, by the way, that Martin Luther King, in his letter from the Birmingham jail, said, this is why I exercise civil disobedience.
Yes.
So, one of the issues I would push the bishops a little bit more on, because all the material to raise the issue is there. And again, at one point, not in this document, but at one point, Cardinal Mahony did in fact raise the issue. But what's the obligation regarding Catholic citizens when there's an unjust law regarding immigration? Do you honor the unjust law, or do you honor the dignity of the worker who has migrated?
Very interesting. So from the perspective of the student who's listening to this podcast, you're very much raising the stakes for him or her, that unlike the fact that it's this immigration debate is usually presented as a kind of almost comfortable, ongoing, unsolvable mystery, it's actually something that we have to take seriously in each individual's life, and that might lead to some concrete decisions of real impact for others as well as for ourselves.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. It is interesting because the language of civil disobedience typically is applied to perhaps warfare on the one hand,
right.
Also on abortion, but it's very interesting to find it come to bear on an economic issue.
Yes.
It's not very common that that happens.
Right.
And you're exactly right that that brings it close to home. If we are serious about accepting the stranger, and again, if the current legal system is, in Cardinal Mahony's words, disordered, unjust, broken, those are all his words.
Right.
Under what circumstances are we called upon, not just allowed, but obligated to work in a way that, yes, in fact, puts ourselves at risk of becoming of being placed under the rubric of being a criminal?
Yeah.
And again, at one point, Cardinal Mahony was very explicit that if that one particular bill became law, then he would have to advise his followers to disobey it.
Mm-hmm.
To in fact disobey it.
Well, perhaps we'll close the podcast at this point, Professor, and invite students to do more reading and thinking on the subject.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
This has been a Notre Dame Forum podcast. For more, visit the forum online at forum.nd.edu.